welcome to the weekend. Welcome to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Lee. I am the teaching pastor at our Plain City campus, and we are continuing our series through the book of Job. This past week, we really began to just get a sneak peek into Job's soul. This has just been such a really fascinating book to study and to walk through. It's one that I feel like as a church, we generally don't lean into these kinds of topics, this kind of real life wrestling with. And I'm so grateful that we're taking the time to lean into this because it is so true. We all really want the good life. We want to have an amazing life. And yet we struggle with when life gets hard and how we can begin to allow our circumstances to determine how we view God. So if life isn't good, God must not be good. And what I love, especially from this past week and looking at Job, is you see Job crying out to the Lord. Job has finally heard all of his friends give him all of their perspective on it, right? And he is kind of fed up with it, and that he wants to speak. And it's like Job is waiting. He's waiting to hear from God. And I can resonate with that. You know, there have been periods in my life where I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm waiting for his direction. I'm waiting for him to tell me what to do next. And here's what can begin to happen. I've experienced this, and maybe you have too, is that we can begin to equate God's silence with his absence. That somehow we can think that while we're waiting, God's not working. And what we can really begin to see with Job from this last week is that just because you're waiting doesn't mean God's not working. That God is still working a beautiful plan that right now in the moment, Job couldn't see. And for us, we can't see. And so it moves to kind of the opening statement that Job gives, right? In verses 1 through 12, it's kind of like Job is finally waiting to exonerate his name, right? Like rather than trying to explain himself, he's wanting his name to be cleared. And a few things that just really stood out to me in looking at this is, you know, one, he kind of comes to his friends, right? And he says, hey, like, behold, my eye has seen all this. My ear has heard and understood it. What you know, I also know. I am not inferior to you. It's really fascinating because what he's beginning to do in that moment is he's starting to let them say, hey, I'm not going to let what you say about me define me. Think about that for a moment. Imagine if we all lived with the reality that we're not going to let the opinions and what others say about us define us. How would that change? How would that change the way you live today? How would that change the way you think about your week? If we began to let what God says about us to be the true defining reality in our lives, that we live under the weight of others' opinions, that we allow others to have the authority to define us. And so who do you want to define you? I know for me, I want what God says to define me. And Job kind of begins to talk about how he feels misunderstood, right? That his friends are like worthless physicians, these whitewashed kind of tombs kind of with lies that really they are saying things, but they aren't true. That they're like a physician who can't really give you a real diagnosis or real treatment. They're misdiagnosing you. And I know we can feel misjudged and misrepresented and misunderstood. And we feel like that there's these platitudes that people may say or that culture may say. Like I talked about on Sunday, the one that we may hear a lot is like, man, hey, follow your heart, right? Like just whatever's on your heart, follow after it. Or, hey, God won't give you more than you can handle. Have you heard that before? God won't give you more than you can handle. And in those moments, it's kind of what Job says is that these are like ashes. You know, your maxims are proverbs of ashes. They fall apart. See, rather than following our hearts are deceitfully wicked. They're sick. Who can understand it? And God won't give you more than you can handle. Well, tell that to Paul. When he told us that my grace is sufficient for you, my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness so that Christ's power may rest upon me, right? It's because even when we feel misunderstood, God understands us. That's a beautiful, this reality. So Job is wanting some exoneration. Then he's kind of waiting for his justification. He's pleading now his case before God, that really he is trying to help them to see that he's not living a unrighteous life. He's saying, hey, Lord, would you make known to me what I've done wrong? Would you show me my faults? Would you help me to see, God, what I have done wrong? Would you remove this heavy hand from me? I can't hold on to it. And that's kind of what I was sharing earlier, that when it feels like God is silent, he's not rejecting you and me. And that sometimes we feel like, man, can I really be honest with you, God? And the truth of the matter is, as Job tells us, that we can be ruthlessly honest with God. And you see, when we feel like God gets silent, we start to feel like he's trying to distance himself from us. And we stop praying. We stop coming to church. We stop trusting God. And Job models the opposite, right? It's in his silence that we can lean in rather than leaning out. So just because God hasn't answered yet doesn't mean he's absent. He may be working in ways that you and I can't see, preparing an answer that's better than what you and I expect. So here's what we can do. We can talk to God rather than talking about him. And so it's in this moment where Job leads us to this chapter 14 where he's waiting for salvation. He's appealing to God's mercy. And he gives us this hint of resurrection in verse 14. If a man dies, shall he live again? It's this sense of Job contemplating his own death, how he would rather leave. And in his mind, he's wondering, Lord, but if I die, could I live again? Could I live again? In the deepest question of human existence, Job shows us that even in the face of death, that perhaps there is something next. That Job was like, I need a little bit of hope. Could you use a little bit of hope today? A little bit of hope in your situation. Job's question there points out this beautiful answer that God has for us, is that yes. Yes, there is life after death. Because we all need hope when we feel helpless. We all need hope when we feel helpless. Job still believed that God has the power to save, to rescue, and to bring relief. See, hope is not just wishful thinking, it's confidence in God's character. The resurrection is God's proof that helplessness is not hopelessness. Let me say that again. The resurrection is God's proof that helplessness is not hopelessness. And so it shows us that even when you and I can't, God can. God can. So while Job longed for exoneration, he reminds us that Jesus is our advocate who clears our name. When Job pleaded for justification, we see that Jesus is our righteousness who takes our charges so that we can be right with God. And lastly, Job hoped for salvation because Jesus is our resurrection who gives us life beyond death. And so I just want to take some time to pray for you and me to remind us that even when it feels like we're waiting, we can trust that God is still working. God, thank you so much for your kindness and goodness in our lives. Lord, help us in the midst of our waiting, whatever it is that we're waiting on, waiting for direction, waiting for you to show up, waiting for you to intervene. May we keep believing, God, that you are at work, that you are working behind the scenes. God, that we don't always have to try to clear our name when we feel misunderstood because we know that you understand us. That God, we don't have to plead our case before you, knowing that really our righteousness comes from Jesus. That because of the work of Christ, Lord, we get to be declared innocent rather than guilty. And that God, we have a hope that even when our situations feel helpless and we don't know what to do, we have a hope in the resurrection that God, you are working something better than we can see. And may we cling to that, Lord, as we walk through today. We pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Would you take a moment and pray?